Welcome to the Man Cave Confidential Podcast. This is episode 37, Mind Think, 1984, George Orwell, Mark Cuban, Donald Sterling, what you can do at school and what you can't, all these things, craziness, and more. The Man Cave Confidential Show is starting now.
Cocked, locked, and ready to rock, Doc.
I am Darren O'Neill. He is FJ Shark. Are you ready to rock, Shark?
Oh, yeah. Always.
We're always ready to rock. The Man Cave Confidential Podcast, where we talk about things that you'd normally talk about. You know, guys would talk about while sitting around in the man cave. Sometimes it's going to be fun. Sometimes it's going to be scary. Sometimes it's going to piss you off. And sometimes you're going to laugh. And sometimes, maybe all at once. Sometimes you may just lose full control of your bladder and and things will get very messy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about on the show not too long ago about the Donald Sterling thing. NBA owner had a disgruntled girlfriend, recorded him saying some racist things. And now the NBA is doing everything they can to take the team away from him. Well, I mean, forcing him to sell the team. I mean, we're not that bad yet to where they're actually going to just take the $2 billion franchise or whatever they're saying this thing's worth and giving it away. But with that said, this, of course, means this has been a big story.
Right.
People have been talking about it from, you know, every which angle. And Mark Cuban, you know, we both watch the Shark Tank. We know a lot about Mark Cuban. He's a, you know, multi-billionaire entrepreneur, owns the Dallas Mavericks. He wasn't saying anything about this until the story got to be such a huge story that it came, you know, there was really no, there was no way that he wasn't going to get away not making a statement. So he made some statements, and now he's in hot water from some people because, from the way I'm looking at it, he's speaking the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, he made comments that basically said, hey, you know what? This Donald Sterling thing, bad. What the guy said, bad. But with that said, you're now becoming a, you're getting on a very slippery slope when you're dealing with trying to police racism, bigotry, basically stupidity.
Right.
You know, in the NBA or anywhere, really. I mean, it doesn't matter if this is the NBA, whether this is, you know, your one of your kids' schools, the company you work at.
Right.
There's no way to legislate stupidity, and we've talked about that at length. You know, for people that call 911 when their Subway sandwich isn't exactly right. You know, there's no way to legislate stupidity. You can't just get rid of it. And Mark Cuban made a comment, which I would thought it was interesting, because he then did apologize directly to the parents of Trayvon Martin, because he used an example that said, hey, if it's late at night and I'm walking down the street and I see a, you know, a young black kid wearing a hoodie, I'm probably going to cross and go to the other side of the street. You know, which he then followed with, well, then if I see a guy on the other side of the street, you know, white guy, face covered and whole body covered in tattoos, and I'm probably going to go back to the other side of the street. You know, and these were the comments that he made, which was basically you know, things that everybody thinks. I mean, you could sit there and you can try to pretend this is a perfect world, but it's not. And you, people have, you know, misconceived, whether they're well-conceived or not, notions that, you know, it's a danger response, right?
Right.
And, you know,
fight or flight.
Right. That's exactly it. In this case, it's like, hey, I'm going to go to the other side of the street. I just think that's the prudent maneuver. And he's taking a lot of flack for this. And some of these, you know, more liberal left-wing nut jobs are being like, well, he's just as bad as Donald Sterling. Donald Sterling was recorded in his house without his knowledge. But Mark Cuban's coming out and he's saying these things in public.
Maybe people just have a thing for billionaires and they're like, you know, you've got too much money. We need to start suing you for stuff.
Well, there's a reason why you don't like them, right? Because it's like, hey, why don't I have $1 billion?
Right.
You know, especially people that didn't start with the $1 billion. But, you know, I think he makes a good point. And there's a few different, you know, a few different parts of this that I'd like to break down. I mean, the first is that everybody has this built into their DNA. like you said, it's the flight or fight or flight response. And to me, that's a part of nature. Right. You know, if you're walking, I mean, this happens. I mean, it's downtown Chicago it was last summer that there were like gangs of kids on Michigan Avenue. I mean, this is the most traffic street in the city. This isn't in a bad neighborhood. This is right in the heart of the city, the magical Miracle Mile, where everybody goes and does their the Magnificent Mile, where everybody goes and does their shopping. And, everybody used to feel safe. All of a sudden, there's attacks going on right on the street. Right. And there were always, it wasn't white guys attacking anybody. You know, and that doesn't make me a racist, because I'm telling you the truth that it wasn't gangs of young white guys.
Right.
So with that said, I can Dennis Miller made a comment on this and I thought it was great. And he said, you know what, if people think, that this is a racist thing, it's like they're nuts. He's like, and if you ignore your spidey senses, then you're an idiot, because they're there for a reason. That if you're walking down the street, and I mean, you can tell a difference too, and it's not, for me, it's not a racial thing, because if you see a group of, you can tell well-behaved groups from groups that are maybe not so well-behaved.
Right.
And so it has nothing to do with race, but if you see a group that just happens to be black and you can tell that they don't look like they're up to any good, well, now you're a racist, because you want to protect yourself by going to the other side of the street.
Right.
Like Mark Cuban said, it could be, if you saw a bunch of skinheads, same way. Because they have a look, and it looks like, hey, your spidey senses are tingling. They're telling you something. And if you ignore that, you're putting yourself into danger, and that's just plain stupid. I mean, are you always going to be right? I mean, are there times when people have a misconception about somebody walking up to them on the street? Sure. Are you always going to be right? No.
Nope.
But the time you ignore it, and you get attacked, well, where are you then?
Well, and also, like you said, the time you don't do it, even on a small level, the couple times you count your change and you find out that it's wrong, and you're like, I wonder how many other times I got ripped off and didn't even know. It's like, the one time that you don't count the change, the one time you don't cross the street.
Right, you got to pay attention. I mean, you have to pay attention to things that are going on, and you have these things, it's just built in. And the thing that I don't like is that we're covering this story, and the Donald Sterling thing, and now we're covering the Mark Cuban part of it. And nobody's ever bringing up, at least not that I've ever heard. If I'm wrong, feel free to email me, mailbag@mancaveconfidential.com. Feel free to call the hotline number. Feel free to tweet us. Do whatever you have to do. But I have never heard any of this go anything but white guy racist against person of color.
Right.
It's like we're ignoring the whole fact that black people can be racist.
Right.
And plenty of them are. It doesn't make any sense that we're dealing with this in one way. I remember when there was I forget what the event was. This was a few years ago. We were talking, it was something, another racist, story that was coming down. And somebody was asked to define racism. It was like, the blacks can't be racist against the whites because the whites are in control, or whatever it was. It's like, no, racism has nothing to do with who's in control at that particular juncture in that particular city, country, whatever you're talking about.
Right.
It's like racism is having something against another race. It doesn't matter if you are the minority or you're the majority.
Right.
Like racism is racism. You don't get a pass because you're the minority and go, well, I can't be racist. We're the minority. Bullshit. Racism is racism.
True.
And nobody is making that. Nobody's making that comment, because I want to know when Mark Cuban made this comment that with the Donald Sterling thing, that we're getting on a very, very slippery slope if we're starting to police racism, police bigotry in the NBA. I thought about it for a second and I'm like, yep. Has nobody ever heard an NBA player say anything racist? Because if you're going to get rid of the owners, you damn well, if the player says something racist, the NBA right now needs to institute a rule in their bylaws that if any player is proven to have said anything racist, they forfeit their contract and they're kicked out of the league.
Right.
Because why should the owners be held to a different standard than the players or the coaches or the ball boys? I don't care.
Right.
Anybody involved, but do we see that? No. I mean, can you imagine the upheaval that there would be in the community if a you know, if your favorite player, oh well, no, he said, no, you're kicking him out. Oh no, you can't do that to LeBron. And I apologize to LeBron. I don't know if he's ever said anything even, you know, remotely questionable. But just using that as an example, I mean, somebody said when this whole Donald Sterling came up that Michael Jordan had made racist comments, you know, that he admitted that he was in his younger time, in his younger life, when he was growing up, that, you know, he was a bit racist until he, you know, grew out of, it's probably not the right word, but until he matured and got a more, you know, realistic outlook on the world.
Right.
So now, how do we, you know, again, if we're going to police this, and this was a guy taped in his own home by his girlfriend, so somebody, you know, allegedly trusted. Let's forget the fact that in the state of California, this would not be allowed in the courts.
Right.
Because it's illegal to record somebody without their knowledge. Let's totally forget that for a minute and say, do we want to start going by somebody getting you on a gotcha statement?
Right.
Because, again, tapes can be edited, and in the privacy of your own home, I mean, somebody could get you to repeat something. I mean, just imagine if this was the case and it's like, hey, your girlfriend was pissed at you because you slept with her sister. Okay, LeBron, and she got you to say something. Hey, what did that one guy say, you know, that got kicked out? Oh, well, he said blah, 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 blah. Well, now I have you on tape saying blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And I'm going to release that, and it's going to, oh, well, I guess you're out of the league now, too.
Right.
So it's a very slippery slope indeed. Mark Cuban's 100% right. When we start using this kind of thing to boot somebody out of the league. I mean, especially an owner that owns a $2 billion franchise. You know, it's a little bit trickier, but I want to see this then. I want to see this move down to the players. And I want to, if again, because this isn't about when he said it. This is about something he said. So if you can go back and find, you know, one of these you know, one of these superstars in the NBA that, you know, maybe wrote something when he was in high school that was derogatory towards a different race, throw him out.
Yep.
Because where else do you draw that line? Where else do you draw that line on, well, when did they say it? What did he say? What can you say? What can't you say? And, you know, I don't know. There's still a big difference to me. Is the guy probably, when we're talking about Donald Sterling, a super big racist idiot? Yes, probably. But somebody recorded him in his own home illegally. It's like, I don't know. I'm sure there are a lot of people that say things in the privacy of their own home that they would not want to get out to the public.
Oh, sure.
For various reasons. So we have to look at this.
There's more Archie Bunkers out there than we know.
Right. And you know what? There's a lot of Archie Bunkers that will never do and will never commit any kind of racist act in public, will never say anything racist in public, will never do anything, you know, derogatory towards somebody else in public. And so now we're going after people for what they think more than what they do. And that to me is also another very slippery slope that we're starting to go down. And if you can explain to me, anybody, where you draw the line and who's exempt from, you know, prosecution on this and who's not. I mean, if you're going to tell me that, you know, somebody is never going to say something in anger and throw something out, you know, on the, you know, NBA court. I mean, you're going to tell me that, you know, some guy, you know, maybe it's two black guys that, you know, use the N-word towards the next one. Well, you know what? That seems racist. You know, but you can say, well, you know, well, it can't be if it's one black guy to another or one white guy to another. They can't be a racist statement. It's like, well, no, it can be a racist statement. You know, right. I mean, the statement doesn't change. You know, so again, that's the part of the slippery slope as well. If you're going to go, well, see, it's okay for one black player to refer to the other black player as the N-word. But now, if a black player refers to a white guy as the N-word, well, then now isn't that racist? You know, or if a white guy, you know, if, okay, say, you know, he gets pushed down, fouled hard, and he comes back and says the N-word to the black guy. Well, now he should be kicked out of the sport, right? Because now that's a racist statement. And this was made on the court.
Right.
And you hear this stuff all the time. And whether it's, you know, whether it's intentional or whether it's that the way somebody feels. I mean, again, we all know because we've all had fights with people that we're close to. And we know the those hot button issues. You know those words that's going to get your partner mad or your brother mad or your sister. And you use those when you're trying to piss them off.
Right.
That doesn't necessarily mean you are a race. You know, it's just.
Well, I got one for you that even takes it up a notch higher for level of confusion. Right now, among a lot of teenagers, I guess online and in person, my kids tell me that there are kids who talk to each other and say, "Hey, Niggs, what's up?" And that's like to replace the word dude, like friend, dude, Niggs. And I'm like, what? careful how you're saying that. What are you talking about? Oh, no, it's fine. It's fine. And I'm like, no, it's not. You know, so it's like, so the word Niggs has that same meaning now in social media or among teenagers in grammar school, high school, as, oh, you're my best friend, you're my buddy, hey, dude, what's going on? And I'm like, I don't know if everybody's on board with that. So I wouldn't really start trying to use that in the mainstream, you know, anywhere.
Right.
But it's like, really? But it's like, so now if somebody says that, okay, now you're racist. Oh, no, I meant it as a friend.
Right. Well, see, that's right. Because this has been around, you know, and this has been around for a while because it's, you know, and then people will be like, well, no, you know, it's a friendly thing when it's nigga, N-I-G-G-A. But if it's the E-R, that's the bad thing. Or it depends who's saying it to who. You know, Chris Rock had a bit from a couple of years ago to where he had this whole thing. And, you know, I apologize if the word is offensive to you, but I'm going to use it because that's, you know, the word that he's using. And he goes out and says, you know, there's a difference between niggers and black people. He had a whole bit on it.
Right.
And his whole thing was that, you know, the nigger won't go find a job and doesn't want to do anything and doesn't care about his family, you know, and it's like he had this whole thing. It's like, well, is that racist? He's black.
Right.
You know, he's using this word. Now, is that a racist thing? You know, what is racist and what's not? You know, that's what I really want to, you know, try to figure out. And as I said, it came down to being the nigga. Well, that's hanging with my niggas. You know, that's the friendly thing. And now you're telling me that white kids in suburbia are using niggs.
Niggs to call each other. Hey, friend. Hey, dude.
Well,
you know, see, these are my pals. These are my niggs. It's like, really?
You know, and this is how language changes. And that's fine because this is a normal progression of things. But somewhere now, we have to let go of the past. They've taken control of the word, you know. Not even they. It's the word has evolved. You know, it means something different because of the way that it's used. Words change all the time. If you go and you probably do a Google search for words where the meanings have drastically changed over the years, depending how they were used.
Right.
And what was a racist word at one point is now completely not. But then you have to give away the bad connotation when it becomes something else. You know, I mean, it can't mean all these different things all at the same time. And right. You can't legislate who can use it, you know, and you can't legislate stupidity. Are there always going to be racist people in the world? Sure. You know, and that's, you know, one of the interesting things is to see how people react to this and to see how people will use any chance they can get to throw a racist argument in. It's an interesting to me because we're living for the first time in American history with a black president.
Right.
And he was elected with like 70% of the vote. I mean, it was a landslide.
Right.
The minute he was in office and people start disagreeing with him, racist! You just don't want him to be president because he's black. We elected him. He was black when we elected him, believe it or not. He didn't turn black. He didn't take off a mask after he was elected and go, guess what? I'm black.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Okay, well, he did say that. And that was in his book. But it's like that you can't have it both ways. You can't call a country racist who voted for a black president 70% of the vote. I just don't see how you – 'cause now you're going to disagree. It's like, but see, this is the problem. Why don't we just, you know, when we're disagreeing with people, and it doesn't matter whether it's politics or in the NBA, why it has to be a racial thing. It's like, how about it's just, I think your, you know, idea is stupid. I think a lot of white people's ideas are stupid. I think a lot of, you know, enter your favorite nationality here.
Right.
It's like, you know, you can't have that always. Now, white bread American, you know, junior high kids are using the word niggs as, hey, these are my buddies. And the fact, here's the interesting thing is, I mean, do they even know there's a negative connotation to that? I mean, they realize.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it's all, you know, both on the street and in the classroom. It's well taught.
So it's like, what? So is nobody teaching you that maybe using the shortened version is.
Don't we have any other words we can pull out of a hat here?
Right. I mean, that's kind of an interesting thing to me, but it ties in because that was the, we were talking about topics for the show. And I'm like, okay, I want to talk about the David Sterling, Mark Cuban thing because the race issue, you know, okay, we're supposed to be a guy-friendly show, and, you know, it's fun to talk about who the top Maxim 100 women are. That's fun. The last episode, we talked about, you know, 100 things you shouldn't have to do or that you shouldn't do over 30. You know, I think the racial stuff and the stuff that's going on is important to talk about because I think guys that are just hanging out, this is coming up, especially now that the owner of an NBA franchise is involved. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the more this gets talked about, the more things are going to get better, the more understanding there's going to be. The only time you're going to have things that stagnate, don't get better, or, you know, start going downhill is when you ignore them. So I think it's good to have a, you know, a nice open conversation. And then you were talking about, hey, this is what's been going on with my kid's school. And I'm like, you know, this is all kind of tied into the same thing because it's all about controlling what people can think, controlling what people do, controlling what people can say. When you're telling me that in, you know, an eighth grade class to go on their, you know, the last, you know, little field trip before everybody graduates to the local Great America amusement park,
right?
When they're told, well, you can take pictures on your phone, but make sure you have everybody's consent that's in the picture. Okay, first off, there I have a problem. We'll talk about that. And they also said no uploading to Facebook or Instagram, at least while it was happening. So do not go on the internet for anything while you're in the park. Do not text, do not call anybody or anything while you're in the park. If I'm correct, is that kind of the breakdown of what was going on?
Yes, unless it's an emergency.
Right, which is good because you have to tell people, you know, it's like, well, they told me not to call anybody. Jimmy's leg is caught in the, you know, in a bear trap here. Well, they were very clear not to get on the internet or call anybody. But it's to me, it's like, okay, the uploading to Facebook or Instagram instantaneously of your photos is now the norm in the world.
Right.
Almost nobody does what you do, which you may be one of the only people that waits until you're not in that location any longer before uploading the pictures, which it could be a privacy concern. And, you know, I'm fully understanding of that, especially where in a case like this, you know, you're taking a bunch of eighth graders to an amusement park. Obviously, there's some chaperones, but they can't watch everybody all at once. And if somebody did have a stalker, I can understand where you might not want to be like Instagramming. I'm standing in front of the tidal wave or whatever, you know, I can kind of get that. But trying to control all of these things, it's like, does the school really think they can control? Do not post this to your Twitter. Do not post this to Instagram. Do not post this to Facebook. Most of these things can be locked out unless it's your friends that can see it. So how would they even know? And really, is it the problem? I mean, do they ever explain that this was just a privacy issue, or is this just the fact that, you know, we are in control, so we think we should make some rules?
I think the bottom line is that they don't want to get sued, because it's going to be – it's good kids – you know, they first thought that it was just a bunch of bad kids doing something, and then it turns out that, like, even decent good kids were liking things they shouldn't have liked and gotten involved. And they're like, hey, all I did was hit the like button. What do I care? I even forgot that I liked that thing. What do you talk about? I didn't make any comments.
You know, that's an interesting thing, too. So now let's just say there's a like button for Mark Cuban. Now are the kids – they're racist if they like Mark Cuban, right? Or if, you know, if they – it's –
right. Well, not to change the subject, but I just saw an article about how your social media, you know, they say, oh, this could affect your job. Right. Well, if they get your Facebook page, your potential employer, and they see that what your views are politically, and you get into arguments with people, and you have a problem with certain sexuality, or you have a problem with this, and you all these things that you like rant and rave about, and the things that you've liked, and that could be held against you, because it's like, oh, this is a guy who likes to start arguments, and he looks like he like subscribes to every you know, gun owner page, you know, that's on Facebook. He's not a good hire. In the past, nobody would have known that you could have an arsenal in your house, all legally, have permits for everything, subscribe to every gun magazine there is. Nobody would have known. It's nobody else's business. Everything is legal. It's fine. Now, because you liked, you know, certain subscriptions to gun magazines, now you're a threat.
Right. Which, you know what? I could get behind teaching your kids, you know, in seventh and eighth grade, just what you're talking about there, that people are going to judge you about what you post. Because, you know, again, there's a big difference in... You know, I don't know if this happens. I'm assuming it does. But there's a big difference in between a bunch of girls posting, you know, themselves waiting in line for the ride, having fun, and one of their classmates that maybe they don't like so much that they think is maybe not dressed well, that they take a picture, you know, with Fashion Nightmare, right, you know, and tag that. But again, it's not illegal. It's, you know, you can't control what people are going to do. Again, can't legislate stupidity.
Well, yeah. And what was the stop, you know, 30 years ago when we went to our high school trips or grammar school trips or whatever, if somebody, you know, from your class, you're like, hey, Steve, nice outfit, you dork.
Right.
I mean, that might be one of your, you know, good friends that you're just trying to make fun of his shoes that he has on,
right,
for the
nice
day or whatever.
Nice floods, man.
Yeah, nice floods, jerk. You know, whatever, you know, and but you now it's like, oh, no, that's bullying. Oh, that's hazing. Oh,
right.
It's like, wait a minute. And then, you know, everybody had a camera. Well, we took pictures at Great America. We took pictures. We went out. We weren't taking private pictures in the bathroom and sticking it under the stall. So why weren't our parents going crazy about the stuff then? I mean, we couldn't even develop our own cameras if you didn't have a Polaroid. You had to take them somewhere. You would have got busted.
Right. It was very hard to take dick pics.
Yeah. But I mean, the idea that if someone else is developing my film, that didn't even make me say, oh, geez, now I can't take all these pictures that I want. I didn't even think of that. So it's like, well, why? Just because it's easy? Now everybody says, well, this is what I'm going to do to annoy people?
Right. Well, it's interesting to me because there was an article on photography that I read that was usually photographs were such a pain in the ass for generations prior to this that a lot of times, you know, if your grandparents passed away or something, I mean, you might have only gotten like they had like 15 to 30 photographs. You know, it wasn't like they had thousands of them.
Right, in the shirt box. They didn't even buy an album.
Right. That's exactly it, because it was something that it was not commonplace. So, you know, if you didn't see somebody that, you know, these were treasured objects, now they're not. They're trash. You could take a billion a day. You know, I always wonder with people taking as many pictures as they do now, it's like you're spending more time taking pictures than you could ever spend looking at them.
Right.
You know, but I guess where this comes in, and again, if this was a part of what the eighth grade was trying to teach, I would be applauding them, but it doesn't sound like they actually followed through with the lesson, which is, you know, the world doesn't revolve around you. And I think a lot of the problem with, you know, and I can't just say it's kids. I mean, there's people of all ages that take pictures because they think they're the reality star. You know, they think people give a shit what they're doing.
Right.
And, you know, while it's, you know, nice to keep up with what your friends are doing, whatnot, and there's some people that use, you know, when somebody does a picture, you know, one a few a week, maybe two or three a week, hey, I'm out to dinner, I'm at the ballpark, you know, I'll do that now and then. Here's a nice picture. Here's the ballpark. Looks beautiful today. Look at the clouds. Oh, it's not a cloud in the sky, whatever it is. But when you have the people that take like 14 selfies a day,
right,
you know, then you kind of know the problem is, you know, they think somebody wants to see it.
Right.
Because I can tell you, your photos, your selfie you took yesterday is really not that different than the selfie you're going to take today.
Or the fact that, you know, somebody changes their profile picture and they're ticked because they didn't get at least 50 people to like the fact that they changed their Facebook profile picture.
I intentionally don't like anything on Facebook. It seems to be the easier way to go.
Well, I mean, I've spoken to principals, teachers, whatever, and I'm not a high-maintenance parent. I help out, and I keep my mouth shut, and I help out where I can, and I see what goes on. And I talk to them more like a friend or like I'm in their shoes, like I'm, you know, a manager or, you know, somebody. I put myself in their position. And they say things like, yeah, about 50% of the problems that we have come from parents who think that their child is the gifted one.
Right.
You know, well, maybe that kid shouldn't have got the trophy like everybody else did and taught the word no, and that you're going to lose through life, and you know, you're going to get rejected and frustrated and disappointed. Not everything's fine and you're always going to win and you're the best. And if you're not the best, how come little Jimmy across the street got his, you know, got an A plus and you only got an A? And I got a problem with that.
Well, okay. And in the not everybody gets a trophy segment, I don't even know the guy's name, but the psycho shooter that just went on a rampage. Why? Because the girls wouldn't go out with him. What has been my number one rebuttal to the everybody should get a trophy crowd? I'm sure you can tell me. What was my number one response to that?
What, like the dating example that you're going to get rejected and move on type
right.
thing?
Or not everybody can bang who they want to bang.
Right.
That's the number one rule. But that gets swept away when everybody gets a trophy.
And all the dating courses out there, it's a numbers game. Sales, it's a numbers game. Somebody that has, you know, 50 great accounts, they didn't make 50 cold calls. They probably made 500 to 5,000 cold calls to get those 50 accounts.
Right.
But that's what these people don't understand.
But this kid goes on a rampage because he was not given the sex and love from the women that he wanted. And he was going to go after the guys that they gave it to. Like, wow. Yeah.
Whatever happened to, you know, going in the bathroom with Miss October's, you know.
It was the Steve Martin bit. You know, I didn't understand it at first, the Steve Martin bit. I mean, I remember hearing this when I was a kid. You know, this was probably like, you know, 9 or 10 years old. Steve Martin was big. And, you know, he's talking about it was something to do with Farrah Fawcett. And, you know, maybe it was something like how he had met her or something. And she, you know, she did like just blew him right off. And he's like, oh, you know, after all of the hours I spent holding up her picture with one hand.
Oh, right.
And I didn't get it at first. But then, you know, once you get it, you're like, years later, it's like, oh,
yeah,
I get it now. But yeah, I mean, that's, you know, not everybody gets a trophy. Not everybody gets to bang who they want to bang. And if you don't install this in children from an early age, this is what happens. People go on shooting rampages and kill people because you wanted to try to pretend that everybody can get a trophy, that everybody's the same, that, oh, we can't have a dinner for the kids right. who did the best this year in school because that's elitist. That leaves people out. Well, you know what? People should feel bad when they're left out. They should try harder to do better.
Right.
Not go, oh, you know, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. You just, you know, you were limited. It's like, I don't know. There's a reason. I guess by all of this, nobody should ever win a World Series. I can't believe any of these leagues would actually have All-Star games. You know how many people feel bad they don't get picked for the All-Star team?
Or nobody should drive a fancy car. Nobody should live in an above-average house. All those things go with it. It's like if you want those things, you got to work for them.
That's right, comrade.
If all cars and houses were the same, it'd be like, well, most people would say, well, why bother? I guess maybe I could own five of them then. You know, like little Monopoly houses that all look the same.
Right. And this all ties in because, again, all these kids, you know, taking pictures, it's like they think they're the star of their own reality show, which we talked about the fake reality show. You know, Zach Stone is going to be famous. And I think that's just genius because it says a lot about the current crop of kids that we have out there, because they're, it's really the first generation that can literally broadcast their lives.
Right.
And it's not hard. I mean, you've got a phone, you could broadcast your life. You could be hooked up to Ustream, walking around, as long as your battery holds out, boom, you're on the internet.
Right.
And these are the things we should be teaching the kids. The fact, the like you were just saying, you know, try to treat your kids with the respect. You try to let them know your reasoning behind something. You're not the typical parent that, gee, Daddy, why can't I have that? Because I said so.
Right.
You know, but
then we'd end it with what do whiners get? And then they'd have to say nothing.
Nothing at all. But this is what the school's doing. By the school saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, without explaining, that is basically doing a because we say so. It's like, know what? Maybe you should explain to the kids that, well, if you post this on Facebook, you know, this is going to haunt you for the rest of your life if you do something stupid. You know, if you post a picture of one of your classmates and put negative comments, well, you know, that makes you look like a dick, you know, and people are going to look, you know, you're going to be judged by these things. You know, I don't know. It's you would think it would be common sense, but these, you know, when you get into schools and then all of a sudden it's easier for them just to go no, rather than explain why.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Explain why. It's not that hard.
Right.
You know, I just don't understand. I really do not get it.
Or see, I don't think you could pay me enough to be a principal or even be a teacher. There's teachers that are getting beat up, bullied by students, by parents, by whatever, if they don't give the kid the grade they want or that the parents think they deserve. And it doesn't even have to be an F versus a D. It could be a B versus an A or a C versus a B. Not just because you failed the kid, it's because, well, I thought, you know, this is ridiculous. They should have gotten a higher grade on this. This is their fault.
Right. Well, right. Because nobody wants to take responsibility for their own actions.
Yeah. Well, you know, when my son's grades go down and increases the amount of through increasing the amount of time he spends on Xbox, I'm like, well, you know, you got to reduce the amount of time on Xbox and then your grades go up. You know, it's a little like a, what do you call that? The seesaw, you know, right. The teeter-totter, inverse relationship. And then magically his grades go back up when he tells his friends, you know what? I got to study more.
Hey, you have to study before you can go pistol whip the hookers in Grand Theft Auto. You need to learn first that not everybody gets a trophy.
Right.
And you have to, you know, do your homework. See, that's the other. I just don't get it. I don't understand that the same schools who will give you an F if you don't do your homework or you don't understand the concepts of math go, well, nobody can win or lose when we play sports. But wait a minute. So sports, we can't have winners and losers, but in grades, then why can't we? Why doesn't everybody just go, everybody gets an A? But he doesn't understand 2 + 2. Who cares? Give him an A.
Right.
You're going to make him feel bad if you tell him he's dumb.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I never understood how all these things go together before people get thrown into a world where they actually have to compete for jobs.
Right.
You have to compete for who you want to date. You have to compete for everything. But we don't want to teach that from an early age because why? I don't understand it. You think the kids in China don't understand that they're being you're being tested at every turn?
Right. Well, if you look at the biography of Bill Gates, he said, my parents, my grandparents, my aunts, uncles, whoever, everything they made into a fun game. It was competitive. You had to win. You were rewarded if you won. It could be who's getting to the dinner table first. It could be a game of checkers. It could be whatever it was. They turned something into a fun game and some kind of competition. Well, this drove the man with a competitive spirit. It wasn't, you know, nice try, you came in second. It was, no, you know, we're the Navy SEALs and Top Gun. Right. Second place is the first loser. No points for second place.
Yeah, can you imagine if the Navy SEALs had to take everybody? Things would go horribly wrong.
People are like, I can't keep up. Well, geez, slow down, everybody, because certain people can't keep up. But I talked to a couple of parents last night. They were telling me how their kids were in the baseball leagues where they didn't keep score, and some of the parents would secretly keep score and then try and tell their kid that, you know, they won or they lost. Right. I'm like, guess what? When I was a kid, I wasn't on an organized baseball. If you want to play baseball, you got on your bike. First, you got yourself out of bed,
right.
Got on your bike, rode down to your friend's house, see if they were home. If they weren't, go to the next friend's house, gather up a bunch of people. Probably took you an hour to organize the whole thing, get to the park, pick sides. Guess what? Whoever sucks gets picked last. That's just the way it works. And in one game, somebody else might be the best player. Or when you're playing, you know, with another group of friends, you might be the worst player on that team. It depends who you're against. Luck of the draw. You go out there. You have fun. You keep score yourself. If somebody says, hey, no, we're ahead 4-3. And you're like, no, it's not 4-3. It's 3-3. That other run didn't count. You had to police yourself. You had to stick up for yourself. And you had to keep track of the score. Now parents are secretly telling their little kids, hey, I think you won because it was 5-3. Aren't you proud? And the kid's like, we scored?
Right. What's that mean? I don't understand.
Like, nobody's keeping score for us in the stands. Why? Because the parents weren't there.
Right. It was a lot better, too, let me tell you. That's parents being involved most of the time screws everything up. Really. I mean, that's when, because again, you hear this stuff all the time, like little league games or high school games where it's like the parents in the stands that start a fight. And you're like, really?
Right. Oh, there was a fight at graduation. I don't know if I mentioned
Pardon?
It last time.
There was a fight at graduation.
Yes. The graduation from the high school, they got rained out. They brought everybody inside. They weren't ready for it, for everybody inside. The kids were going like shoulder to shoulder trying to go up to get their diploma. And because of all the rain delays or whatever else was going on, they couldn't hear what was going on. They couldn't fit everybody in the gym. Some people were on watching it in the theater, the auditorium. Some people were watching it on a TV screen in the cafeteria. Everybody's getting ticked off. Some people got their diploma and left. So if you're on the second half of the alphabet,
everybody's gone.
You have less and less people. I mean, not everybody left, but I'm just saying. So fights broke out. Two different fights I heard among other parents because they were getting offended that, hey, just because my last name starts with Z and I clap for your kid whose last name starts with A, why aren't you going to clap for my kid?
Well, as Yogi Berra always said, go to your friends' funerals or none of them will come to yours. Like, oh, wait.
So it's like this is what they, but I mean, I see both sides. It's like they're being rude. The other one, you know, you shouldn't have to turn into a fist fight. But, you know, my kid's special. You're not clapping for them. All this garbage going down.
Well, it's the me mentality again, because it's only in the me mentality would parents let their kids leave or they would leave. You know, once they got their diploma, because, you know, there are other people going. It's like there used to be a lot more respect and there used to be a lot more understanding and people used to be a lot more polite to each other. And, you know, I'm not really sure what changed beyond, you know, cell phones and putting technology and, you know, different communications out there. I mean, I don't know exactly what it is, but there's a... You know, anytime you just wait in the line at a Starbucks and see how people react. I mean, it's, you know, it's interesting that everybody thinks, you know, their time is the most valuable time going on. And you're just, you know, in their way or the way people drive. It's like, my God, man, if people could just understand what idiots they look like or, you know, how they maybe they don't care. You know, maybe they don't care that they're coming off as just a total dick. You know, I don't know. It's definitely a weird concept because there used to be a lot more civility. And, you know, I'm not sure why, except that everybody believes, you know, they're a reality star and everybody, you know, people think they're, you know, chicks think they're divas and, you know, guys think they're, you know, the king bee or whatever it is that, you know, because we're broadcasting our life. Like you said, I got like 1,000 likes on that picture.
Right.
You know, and I don't know. There's a self-worth kind of a thing where it's interesting because it seems that there's getting to be more of a divide where there's a lot less people in the I'm okay range. I'm pretty good. And there seems to be a lot of people in the, you know, really down and a lot of people in the really, you know, taking a much higher view of themselves than maybe they should.
Right.
Yeah, it's like people just need to get a reality check. And, you know, maybe this was all bullshit, but, you know, there were enough people that were commenting on this that I felt it was probably true, because I'd never really heard anything bad about the guy. There was a special on about Paul McCartney, about his new album. So this is, you know, up to date this year kind of stuff. And, while he's out on tour and that, you know, a lot of times other people will show up and, you know, they talk to him about this. And he's like, you know, I get it that, you know, he's like, I see all of these people as contemporaries. You know, he was talking about running into people like, you know, Bruce Springsteen, Neil Young, Bob Dylan, you know, name your favorite musician here. That, you know, he's like, you know, I kind of get, you know, I was part of the Beatles and, you know, I kind of get that. He's like, but I just don't see it that way. He's like, if anything, I'm usually, you know, he's like, these people would be amazing. Like, I'm in awe of them. He's like, you know, I'm sitting here, you know, talking to Bruce Springsteen and I'm thinking, you know, I really dig this guy's music. And he's like, I'm a fan. And, you know, the guy on the other end, you know, you'd have people like Springsteen going, well, this isn't Paul McCartney. You know, this is, right. This is godlike stature. And, you know, the guys in his band were like, no, I mean, he is, you know, he's the most down to earth guy, which is probably why people love him as much as they do. And you don't hear anything bad about him because he doesn't come, you know, and really, if there was anybody in the history of rock and roll that should be able to pull off the, my shit doesn't stink. Right. That's the guy. You know, I can't think of anybody else still alive that could pull off the, I am the biggest person that's, you know, involved in rock and roll music.
Right.
Than Paul McCartney. And the fact that he just, you know, they're like, he doesn't sit in his dressing room waiting. It's like he stands out in the hallway and sees who's coming around and he talks to everybody and he wants to meet everybody. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, the roadie or you're Springsteen walking by.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's Paul.
Right.
It's like, hey, you know what? It's great to hear something like that. You know, it's like the fact of the matter is, the cocksucker in front of you at Starbucks that makes $22,000 a year shining shoes probably has a higher view of himself than Paul McCartney does.
Right.
That doesn't work in the real world.
Right.
You know, and that's what we have to, you know, you deal with on a daily basis. And I know everybody has bad days.
Yeah.
But, you know, a little bit of reality would help. You know, putting things in perspective,
right?
Would help.
I mean, yeah, they're just gonna. It's just gonna get more and more disappointing as life goes on, and that's what I try to tell my kids. I'm like, you know, enjoy this now, because I hate to say it, you know, things get tougher, things get worse. You have to decide how you're going to handle them to come out of it, because it doesn't get easier from here. You know, you're going to complain, oh, you know, boy, eighth grade is so tough. And then all of a sudden it's like,
right. You know, if your daughter came up to you and said, eighth grade is so tough, you would fall over laughing, because you're going to be like, wait till high school, then wait to college, then wait to getting a job.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I wish I was back in seventh grade. And then in freshman year, boy, I wish I was in eighth grade again. You know, I go, it just keeps, enjoy the grade you're in. There's going to be pluses and minuses to each. You know, there's going to be courses you like, courses you don't like, courses you have to take. That's the way it goes.
Right. And you said there was a question, I don't know if it was a mailbag or somebody had just in passing asked you that question, you know, where, like, what grade would you want to go back to if you could choose any? And
yes, here it is. Let me whip it out of the old mailbag here. I have Dear Man Cave Confidential. I have three cousins who are each graduating this year, one from college, one from high school, and one from grammar school. In today's day and age, which would you rather be graduating from, grammar school, high school, or college today?
Well, see, at one end, you'd always want to be the youngest possible, because then you got the most years to live.
Right.
unless you hate life, and then in which case you'd want to be getting out of college, because then you want to go get a job.
Right. Well, and you do have to have something to look forward to, because I remember seeing that article about on the news, the lady who was like 96 years old or 102, something like that, and she went back to college. It was like her last goal she set for herself, and she promised her mother one day she'd go and get a college degree. She died 2 weeks after graduation because she had nothing else to look forward to.
Right. You had your goal. You wanted to get through it. So it's good to have a goal, and to set a goal that's going to take you a long time, because that'll definitely keep you going. But, you know, it would be interesting to me now for us to go back. I mean, think about junior high, high school. you know, and even college, having the technology that we have today, it's amazing to me because we're not, I mean, I guess we're ancient now because in mid-40s, going back to grammar school, junior high, high school and college, we did not have the internet. We did not have cell phones. We did not have texting. You know, we did not have streaming video onto any device. It's like we lived in the dark ages by all intents, for all intents and purposes. We lived in the dark ages.
In some ways, our schooling in the 70s, 80s, and early 90s is no different than, you know, our parents and grandparents who might have lived, you know, 20, 30, 50, 60 years before.
Right. But now everything is completely different because there's, you know, there is just that, you know, for better or worse, the internet has brought the world into, not just in everybody's home, but if you give your kid a smartphone, they have access to anything and anything they want. And I don't know how many parents really understand that. I would hope that they do. You know, and I'm not a parent, and I feel bad, you know, for some of these people where it's kind of like, well, yeah, you know, all their friends had a, you know, an iPhone, so we got the kids iPhones, and they're like 12, and you're like, well, you know, they can access like all sorts of porn and shit, right?
Yeah.
What do you mean? It's like, oh my God, really? I mean, you don't know what you can access on the internet. It's you know, for better or for worse, you know, when we wanted to, like, see boobies, when we were, like, in junior high or high school, it's like you had to go find an actual Playboy magazine or something.
Usually after a flood.
Right. And, you know, you couldn't exactly just, you know, you couldn't just pop on a device and have it downloaded to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's a completely different world, which there were a lot of things. You know, maybe that's the biggest difference. In our generation and previous, your parents had a very big, they had a lot of control over what you were able to consume from music, movies, you know, any kind of porn, whatever it is. They had complete and almost utter control. Now they have zero control.
Right.
Because even the parents that are smart enough to buy a program or set up a router or, you know, something to try to block this stuff from the kids, I'm like, okay, that might work for the 10 to 12-year-olds, maybe. But there comes a certain point to where the kids understand the technology better and how to get around all of those things. Right. I mean, just think about everything that you and I – it was like, hey, if we wanted to see an R-rated movie.
Right.
You know, it was tough. Now it's like, boom, they're on your, you know, it's on Netflix and boom, it's coming down your screen. It's like, it doesn't, right. It's just, it's amazing to me how much different that is and what an effect that has had on people that, you know, there is, you just basically, you can have access to all of these different things.
Well, see, that's the thing, instant gratification, which tied back to my good old nice guy jerk analogy.
Right.
The nice guy gives instant gratification to whatever girl he's with. He always compliments her, you know, whether if she's fishing for a compliment or not. She wants something. Oh, you know, my watch is broken. I need a new watch. He'll go spend $200 on a new watch for her, even if it's a second date. You know, things like
yes,
that.
Known guys like that. Yes.
Yeah. So it's instant gratification for that person, for the woman. Where when the jerk comes along, he's not going to buy the watch. He's going to give out his compliments with an eyedropper. In fact, he's probably going to put her down a few times, you know, in little negative ways, or I think your hair looks better the other way. I mean, you know, I don't want to call that, you know, downgrading, but it's not exactly a compliment. You're reversing what's there.
Right, it's the neg.
The neg, right. So in those ways, the woman goes, oh, my God, there's no instant gratification here. I have to try and sell him on who I am. What could I do? Maybe I'll dress sexier. Maybe I, you know, have my nails done better. And then maybe I'll throw some sex at him. And before you know it, the jerk in hardly any time at all can have all the sex he wants, where the nice guy's sitting there going, how come I've been going out with him for like 6 months and we're going to get engaged and we haven't had sex and what's going on here?
Well, she's not having sex with him, but she's having sex with
Hey-o.
With somebody else. But I guess this does explain one of the things we've brought up in the past, which is, you know, why the 15 and 16-year-old girls are dressing like the 22, 23-year-olds of our generation going out to clubs.
Right.
You know, it's that – you're right. It's that instant gratification, and all of a sudden you're comparing yourself to – you know, rather than just comparing yourself to your real friends – in your, you know, your own little town or whatnot. Now you're comparing yourself to, you know, the Kardashians, and you're comparing yourself right. to everybody on Facebook and everybody on Twitter and, you know, everybody that has gone viral. And, you know, people are doing stupid shit because, unfortunately, getting, you know, doing stupid shit and doing and going out to the extremes is what gets you noticed.
Right.
Because everybody wants to be famous. I don't know why, because being famous would suck. I'd like to be rich, filthy rich, but famous would kind of suck.
Well, from Kiss, Paul Stanley, he got into a cab, I guess, after like Kiss was performing, and this is before like their records really took off, but they were, you know, selling out stadiums and basically breaking even and even losing money sometimes. And the guy goes, "Hey, you know, I know you. You're that guy from Kiss. How does it feel to be rich and famous?" He says, "Well, I'll tell you how it is to be famous."
Right. Rich, we haven't quite gotten to yet. Yeah, I mean, yeah, the fame part. I mean, it could be fun. You know, if you're famous to the point to where you're a guy and like beautiful women will come up and throw themselves at you, you know, that's probably fun for a year or two.
Till the shots start. Anyway.
Right. Until you've got every possible venereal disease known to man. And then, you know, when it hurts to pee all the time, you know, then you might want to pull back on that just a little bit.
Literally.
Hey, so you got to pull back on it just to pee at some point.
You need a soundbite that goes, "When in doubt, pull out."
Now we got the...
rip it out.
Right. You got the...
When in doubt, whip it out.
Yeah. Couldn't find that as with the like 20 little buttons in front of me. I couldn't find the one I was looking for. But it's a crazy world, and it's the internet's part of it. Parents just taking a back seat is a big part of it. And, you know, people thinking that they, you know, that they control the world and the world revolves around them.
Well, yeah, the guy that went on that killing spree says, my dad was never there for me. These are like all his journal entries or whatever. That's what always scared me, because it was like I never wanted to be, you know, so into my own business, my own ideas, that my family came second and third and fourth and I didn't know who my kids were. But we had all kinds of money.
Right.
You know, and then because there's no way you could achieve, you know, you could achieve $1 million, $10 million, $100 million, and you can't buy those memories back. You can't go back in time to when your kids are smaller and go, "Let's ride the train at the mall." You know, they're like, "No, Dad, I'm 20 years old now. I'm not going to fit on the train at the mall." You know, so you got to do it at that time, and then it's gone. So you got to make them, you know, a priority now, even if it, you know, winds up costing you, you know, extra money than you thought you'd be ahead on. Because too many times I keep seeing, even with a lot of the kids who my kids go to school with, they get to be seventh, eighth grade, and all of a sudden, like, you'll see the father around a little bit more. "Oh, I'm going to drive them to school." What? Somebody just woke up one day and said, you know, "Oh, my God, they're about to graduate."
Right.
And by me taking them to school in their last 3 months of eighth grade, this is going to erase all the times I wasn't there for you in the last 8.5 years. Okay.
Like I said, it's interesting that it's a time of the greatest technology known to man, and people are actually, I think, disconnected more than ever.
Right. And that's all they do. They think, you know, I'll get to it later. I'll be there later. We have a writing show. Their biggest problem is I'll get to my writing later. I'm a victim of that. I'll get to my writing later. But, you know, later never comes.
Right.
You know, it's like tomorrow. It's not going to happen unless you take the time, you know, and have a, I don't know if you want to call it a to-do list or a schedule or whatever that says, "I'm going to write an hour a day, even if I have to get up an hour earlier or stay awake an hour later, I'm going to get that hour a day in," because all you have is today. All you have is the now. That's all you ever had. You can't just keep dumping it to the next.
Right, but that's the easiest. That's the easiest thing to do. You procrastinate, you put things off, and you go, "Hey, I'll always have more time tomorrow. Oh, I'll be able to do that next week." And when it comes to fostering relationships, I think that's where people really get into trouble, because it's easy. I mean, I know it happens to everybody at any given point, to where it's like, you know, hey, you've got a friend, you don't have a falling out or anything. It's just everybody's so busy. The next thing you know, you sit down and you go, "Wow, I haven't talked to him in like a year."
Right.
You know, people don't make that, you know, they don't make that attempt anymore. They don't make that a priority because, like you've said in the past, it's like somebody thinks, hey, I posted went to the beach on my Facebook page. That's the same as calling your buddy right. and saying, hey, we went to the beach.
It's or like no, it's, when the lady had somebody that died, it's like, well, why didn't you know, she's getting complaints? Why didn't you tell me? Well, I posted on Facebook.
Right, that's horrible. I mean, like, that's absolutely God. Positively horrible. Somebody's dead, and it's like, well, no, wasn't that enough?
I mean, and what are the tweets looking like? Wow, took a break from the services. What a downer. Got to get some cheese fries.
Right. Come on. You know, grandpa's dead. We didn't figure we'd call anybody. I just, you know, we tweeted. We Facebooked. Everybody, you should be following me very closely.
Anyone know where I could get a good Reuben?
Right. Right. Well, it is hard to get a good Reuben, but there are places in the city of Chicago that you
can
make
some wings. Yeah. Where can I get some wings? Where's the latest Hooters? Anybody have some ideas?
It is always important to find a funeral home in close proximity to a Hooters. Because there's nothing better, you know, than coming back, you know, after your little lunch break covered in hot sauce. With that said.
With the bib still on.
Right. With that said, it's not something that was beyond what I would necessarily do. So there you go. Now, if you want to get in touch with us, you can do so on Twitter at The Man Cave Guys. You can follow us on Facebook. Link is on the mancaveconfidential.com website. You can call us at the hotline 918-928-CAVE. And, of course, you can always email us at mailbag@mancaveconfidential.com. We didn't get around to talking about the Maxim Hot 100. Maybe we could do a whole show on that. We'll get to it probably in the next show. But the winner, number one, and this is like the first time in forever that I agree, Candace Swanepoel, the hottest woman in the world. So says Maxim. I've been saying it for years.
All right.
Enough said. Until next time, I am Darren O'Neill.
And I'm FJ Sharp.
Later.
You ain't my bitch, nigga. Buy your own damn fries.